We tonight are in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read a couple of verses in just a moment, but we've had a series entitled A Biblical Worldview of Today's Cultural Pressure Points. We've talked about the sanctity of all human life. We have talked about biblical justice. Last Sunday morning, we talked about social justice, and tonight we're going to talk about critical theory through the lens of Scripture. And that's the most important thing as we look at a new idea, our old ideology brought back to us through the lens of Scripture. I think that is so vitally important, and I'm going to read a couple of verses. If you're following along, if you're listening live stream, we are in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight for Your watch care, Your love for us, Your concern for us. And Lord, as we talk about a very difficult topic, help me to be clear. May Your Word go forth above all. May it be preeminent. Be it those who I know somewhere over at Pastor Ball's church, bless their closing program for the Bible school. Thank You for their Bible school this past week. Bless the Stevens as they serve in a Bible school this coming week. And I pray that You watch over them. Be with those who are still recovering or even succumb to COVID. I think of all the missionaries and pastors there in India. I think it was 75 who were hospitalized. I pray that You would just put Your healing touch upon them. Thank You for the ministry of Dr. Chirin. Be with Seth this summer as he serves other missionaries as well. And so, Lord, for our time together, I pray that You bless it. We ask Your blessing upon it. Lord, forgive me of sin, empty me of self, and please fill me with Your Spirit this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So tonight I want to talk about four D's: demonstration, definition, direction, and danger. Demonstration, definition, direction, and danger. Now, why would I even give an entire sermon to critical theory? I will tell you this. It is because it is so prevalent in America today, and it has made such great inroads in the church already, and people don't even know what is happening or what they'll be looking for. I realize that we're just a little bit slower than getting everything. The newest things start in the big cities and trickle out, and we don't get them quite as fast as other people. But I tell you, it's a part of our world that you need to be aware of. And so, demonstration. How is critical theory, and specifically now, I'm going to use critical race theory. Now, you can take critical theory and put anything in the middle of it if you want, but we're going to put specifically for us critical race theory. From a lecture given at Hillsdale College on March the 30th of this year, the founder of Battlefront, Christopher Rufo, says that he's one of 1,000 investigative journalists. But he has developed a database. He's just one investigative journalist, but he's developed a database of more than 1,000 stories to show that critical race theory is becoming the operating ideology of our public institutions, etc. Now, there has started, which I've been happy to see, a backlash. If you've been noticing, there's been some parents get up at school board meetings and say they don't want it taught in their school, and there have been different states that are responding to this. Now, he says, for example, in our government, critical race theory says, example, the FBI was holding workshops on intersectionality theory. The Department of Homeland Security is telling white employees that we're committing micro inequities and had been socialized into oppressor roles. And the Treasury Department held a training session telling staff members that virtually all white people contribute to racism. Now, critical race theory, I will tell you, you are either the oppressed or you're the oppressor. And I can tell you, because we're all in the same category in here in the service tonight, we're part of the oppressor category in their teaching and thinking. Now, how does CRT show up in education? Again, Rufo cites this. He says, in California, Cupertino, California, an elementary school forced first graders to deconstruct their racial and sexual identities and rank themselves according to their power and privilege. First graders. In Springfield, Missouri, a middle school forced teachers to locate themselves on an oppression matrix based on the idea that straight, white, English-speaking Christian males are members of the oppressor class and must atone for their privilege and covert white supremacy. Again, all from Christopher Rufo, March the 30th, 2020, Hillsdale College. Example number two. Fairly recently, it was given a lecture, I think within the last couple of months, Dr. Aruna Kalyani, a lecturer at the Yale School of Medicine. They have since said they don't agree with it, but she said these words I'm quoting now in this lecture to the Yale School of Medicine. She says, "This is the cost of talking to white people at all, the cost of your own life as they suck you dry. There are no good apples out there. White people make my blood boil. I systematically white ghosted most of my white friends. I had fantasies of unloading my revolver into the head of any white person that got in my way, burying their body and wiping their bloody hands as I walked away relatively guiltless with a bounce in my step, like I did the world a favor," end quote, specifically given at a college in our, and she was not even censured until later when Yale said, okay, now we don't agree with that. When they got such a backlash, they're antithetical to what we really believe. And yet this is the critical race theory ideology. It's as racist, I believe, as what they're purporting those who oppressors to be. Example number three. Target and Amazon and Walmart have been selling a book called A Rhythm of Prayer by Shaniqua Walker Barnes. She is a clinical psychologist and ecumenical minister. She has a poem called Help Me to Hate White People. Quoting a little bit, it says, this was the number one best-selling devotional and spiritual prayer book, meditation book on Amazon and back in April. Now it's about 33. I looked today, it's 33 now. Dear Lord, dear God, please help me to hate white people, or at least to want to hate them. At least I want to stop caring about them individually, and collectively I want to stop caring about their misguided racist souls, to stop believing that they can be better, and they can stop being racist, end quote. Now, I give you all those examples, and that's just three. You can look up on any singular day in American lives and see a multiplicity of the exact kind of examples. How's it coming to the church? Well, a prominent seminary in Louisville, one of the professors writes this. Though I am marginalized African-American man within white male-dominated evangelical movements, I'm still part of the privileged male majority of my Christian tribe. My brown marginalized identity intersects with my male identity. If you know, that's so many words that are pictured in the critical race theory. Though my African-American identity has caused me to lose certain privileges and has caused me to certain traumatic experiences of racism in both the Southern Baptist Convention and my broader evangelical movement, my male identity affords me certain privileges that are unavailable to many black and brown women in a male-dominated evangelical Christianity. End quote. So it not only has left the shores of critical race theory beginner people, those who want to promote it, but it has found itself, matter of fact, just this past week in the Southern Baptist Convention. In 2019, they made this resolve. They resolved that the critical race theory and intersectionality should only be employed as analytical tools subordinate to Scripture. I will tell you, CRT will not be subordinate in any way to Scripture. They are going to do their own thing. This past week, there was a group of more conservative people that tried to get that said that you cannot use it at all, and they didn't get a chance to even speak. It was cleverly done by those who are promoting CRT within the Southern Baptist movement and did not even get those who are opposed to it even a chance to speak. So that resolution stays. By the way, I will also say of the three candidates for the SBC presidency, they chose the most liberal of the three candidates. And so in my thinking, that is a bad turn for them. So that's demonstration, and I just wanted to give you just a touch, a taste of what CRT is. Now, a definition. So you may, what in the world, Pastor Tim, are you even talking about, and why you bring it? Because if you don't understand, the CRT, critical race theory, wants to take over everything, and once it gets into a church, that is so divisive. Can you not even see, from the three examples I gave you, how divisive it is? We are to be, I tell you honestly, I feel like in the last 2 years, we struggled with racism, but in the last 2 years, it has been ratcheted up extremely so under the pretense of finding reconciliation. No! CRT, critical theory, critical race theory, does not want reconciliation. They want to destroy, to deconstruct, and to destroy everything so that they can rebuild it in their own socialistic and Marxist theology. That's exactly what it is, honestly. Amen. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Now, so this critical theory, the offshoot then is critical race theory. Offshoot then would be social social justice of today, offshoot intersectionality. Critical theory, offshoot critical race theory, offshoot social justice, part of critical race theory, and part of all that is intersectionality, is how many oppressive markers you have to see how much you have been oppressed. Now, it says in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mankind can never come up with a better plan of governance for themselves than what the Bible has says. This is the how-to manual. God has set government in place for purposes, etc. God understands and knows how best to govern. We understand that. Critical race theory is based on critical theory, which was a Marxist-inspired movement in social and political philosophy, first defined by Max Horkheimer at the Frankfurt School of Sociology in his 1937 essay, Traditional and Critical Theory. Summary is this. The philosophy was to change society as a whole, overcoming current social structures through which people were dominated and oppressed, overturn capitalism, and replace it with communism. And then they're going to be oppressed by something else. Don't you think the 100 million people that were killed by communism were somehow oppressed? Yes. Yes. Yes, they were. Critical race theory, I'm indebted to Dr. David Brown. He has a little booklet called Critical Race Theory Concepts of CRT. He says that critical race theory is a fast-spreading virus infecting nearly every area of society, education at every level, government, religions, the media, the workplace, and more. So we have demonstration, we get examples, we have definition of what it is, and how about direction? Dr. John MacArthur, in a message called Critical Race Theory, a Sickness That Cannot Be Allowed to Continue, he says these words, quoting, this theory views the development of cultures as a result of the systems of white power and racism, beginning with assumed conclusion of systemic racism. We hear that all the time. Systemic, no, I don't believe in systemic racism. That is their assumed conclusions. If you believe in systemic racism, every single one of us in this room and every single other with the other lighter skin are all racist. If you believe in systemic racism, now I sin. And I know that I have done things wrong. I know I do things wrong, but they cannot know my heart. They cannot know my heart, but they propose and assume they can. And they assume that it cannot be remedied apart from the wholesale dismantling and restructuring of political mechanisms, economic policies, moral standards, and other social norms. End of quote. Have you not, do you see where all we're in America, why we're struggling with so many things? I tell you, a lot of it has to do with this right here. The belief and the promotion of this ideology of critical race theory. It's the underlying beliefs that have brought radical calls, for example, defunding the police. Now, I like this article. This is in the Wall Street Journal from May 29th. I like what the Peggy Noonan says. She declares, defund the police? No, fund them better. I like that. Fund them better. That's my idea. Fund them better. Can you imagine a world? Let's just stop for just a moment. A world with no, I'm so appreciative of our police force and deputies, etc. There's a world without those? Anarchy. Not just on TV, at our house, at your house, at my house. And then they're going to come in and say, oh, we're going to take control and we'll solve all your problems. You see how it's going? The first thing is we got to destroy our capitalistic society and then we can start taking control more and more. Now, from the Gospel Coalition, from their, just a short blurb here, each individual is seen either as oppressed or as an oppressor, depending on their race, class, gender, sexuality, and a number of other categories. Oppressed groups are subjugated not by physical force or even overt discrimination, but through the exercise of hegemonic, which is dominant, hegemonic power, the ability of dominant groups to impose their norms, values, expectations on society as a whole, relegating other groups to subordinate positions. In other words, there's a group that's dominant. This only works in America, I think, pretty much. Because in other countries, the whites, the Caucasian people are not the dominant. My goodness, there's so many countries where they're not at all. But in America, it works. Even many corporations and schools are now teaching critical race theory and its assumptions. In the form of diversity training, the Wall Street Journal described this type of training. Again, Homeland Security diversity trainers had a session on microaggressions. The trainers insisted that statements such as, America is the land of opportunity. A statement such as, everybody can succeed in society if they work hard enough. And statements such as, I believe the most qualified person should get the job. Those statements now are all racist and harmful. But I grew up with that. Start mowing yards when you're home. Start the Lord, you know, Lord blesses hard work. And so I would take my bike and I'd ride my bike and on the coal truck roads and pull my little bike or mower behind me. My mom hated me doing that, pulling my motor on Route 30 with the coal trucks. Lord is merciful. I managed to stay alive. But isn't that part of America's the land of opportunity? That's what's made America great. You can come to America no matter how, whatever God started you at. And if you work, most likely you're going to succeed. And people have become millionaires, billionaires. And that's just an example. But if it's part of our culture, part of capitalistic culture. To be sure now, we would agree, racism is an ugly sin. I would quickly say that, yes, it is, which is censured in the Bible. Look for a moment at James. Turn a few pages over to the right. James chapter 2. God is very clear that racism, etc., is wrong, period. James chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, please. James 2, 1 to 4. My brethren, have not the faith of your Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring or goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Verse 8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. We ought to love, as Christians, to love and care for our neighbors regardless of who they are, what they believe, what their background is, or any other variables. We are to be kind to them. We believe the ground is level at the foot of the cross. It says in Ephesians, for he that is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, no one is better than anyone else, no matter, etc. Sadly, as we view our history, there has been racism on every corner of the globe. In our country, we participate in racism through the national shame of slavery. The Jim Crow laws after the Civil War were not abolished until 1965. Those are racial segregation laws. There is certainly racism today, and every instance is unequivocally wrong. True racism is unequivocally wrong. We know that. We would all say yes, we agree with that. But saying that racism is wrong is not saying that CRT is right. Saying racism is wrong. But that's not saying that critical race theory is right, because this is not. To say, as a critical race theory's promoters do, that all white people have the same level of unconscious bias against all people of color is in fact forming another racial bias. You're accusing us of the very same thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
You really are.
Yeah.
The fact is, no one has secret knowledge of another person's heart. It is wrong to assume that because of someone's skin color determines prejudices of the heart. A broad brush assumption, again, this is from a book by Witch Justice by Paul Chappell, but a broad brush assumption that all white people are racist is incredibly discouraging to efforts to heal racism. Do you understand how it's just the opposite of healing? Critical race theory is not healing. It's continual to divide even further. It's not healing. Even go further, members of a less privileged ethnic groups are victims, not perpetrators of social justice, and is therefore legitimate for them to retaliate with retributive violence or expressions of ethnic contempt. This retaliation is not racism, according to MacArthur's quoting again, but an opportunity response, appropriate response to the oppression they suffer, end of quote. So that's why one reason why New York City dropped all looting charges this past week against those who had been looting, unless they had a really definitive case against them. Just read that today. John MacArthur summarizes. Now, there's three quick things, bullet points about CRT. Number one, white supremacy, this is what they believe and teach. White supremacy so permeates our institutions, policies, practices, and ways of knowing. That's nearly impossible to think outside it. It is full-on racial terrorism. Again, they believe all white people are racist, whether they are or want to be or not. And whiteness is therefore an evil that must be confessed and repudiated without any guarantee of forgiveness. Do you understand that if you confess that I'm this, that means nothing? Confessing, and you've seen people in the past where, I remember the video of the white young lady who got on her knees in front of a guy on a sidewalk and confessed, oh, I am so sorry that I have been born white, etc., etc., etc. And that's what they want, but there's no forgiveness. I tell you, forgiveness is the cross of Christ. We come to Him and we confess our sins. He saves our souls. He is the answer. What advocates of CRT are saying is that the basic human problem is racism, and you have to look for racism everywhere in your life. For example, the hidden racism in your workplace, your school, your society, neighborhood, books, food, music, hobbies, faith, mathematics, your church, your community, yes, mathematics, your church, community, friends, relationships, yourself, and everything else. You've got to continually look for it and get rid of it. I tell you, if we obeyed their directives, we would do nothing else. Nothing else. And we've heard the term white privilege. That refers to the myriad of social advantages, benefits, and courtesies that come from being a member of the dominant race. Do you know there's more poor white people in America than dark, than colored people, skin of color? There's more white people that are poor than African-American people. True. True statement. Because we're members of the dominant race. We have this white privilege. It makes it nearly impossible then for anyone with racial privilege to do anything right. It's a no-win. I can't win for losing. And that's what happens. Unless you just completely surrender yourself. Or you start promoting their agenda just like they want to all the time. That's the only way you as a person of not color are going to be able to be successful in their eyes. And then I wonder how successful we'll even be. Every effort's made to bully and intimidate white people to feel guilty for being white and apologize for it. Hence, white guilt. Actress Roseanne Arquette tweeted, I saw the tweet, I am sorry, I was born white and privileged. It disgusts me, and I feel so much shame. Dr. Brown says, this is insane. In fact, he says, I believe it's demonic. What did our text say? Doctrine of devils. In James 3:15, if your Bible is still open there, 3:15, this wisdom of the world, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Neither you nor I nor anyone else had a choice as to the color we were when we were born, the place we were born. The Bible tells us that God hath made of one blood all nations on earth to dwell on the face of the earth. You realize racism is man-made. God said there's one human race. There's different nationalities, there's different ethnicities, but there's but one race. Humankind. If we would just realize that. But that's not the purpose, is to divide. Satan always wants us to divide and split apart and etc. Regardless of our color, we are all made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, and God is no respecter of persons. Peter said in Acts 10:34, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Praise the Lord for that. A very popular term again today by CRT is white fragility. Very white fragility. Made popular by Robin DiAngelo's book, White Fragility, etc. I read that David Burke said, it's snake oil masquerading as insight. I'll just put that aside. Now, but what is white fragility? It's the discomfort and defensiveness on the part of a white person when confronted by information about racial inequality, personal racism, and injustice. I want to tell you, I don't have any white guilt. I had no choice to be... In Millersburg, Ohio, on July the 20th, 1961, I didn't have a choice, but I had to come out. My mom's water broke, and out I come. I was born in a hospital in Millersburg, Ohio, in the heart of the Amish country. I came out, and that was it. I wasn't a girl. I was a boy. There's only two choices, and I came out, and I praised the Lord. If I'd come out in another nation, we should praise the Lord. Whatever color God has given your skin, by the way, skin is just, it's all the same skin. It just has, some has some melanin, some has a lot of melanin, some has hardly none. Albino has hardly any melanin. Maybe and a darker person has a lot of it in it. We are all God's creatures. If people would just see that, God made us male and female. God gave us our families. To despise that is to despise the God who gave it, in my thinking. We should praise the Lord for how He's made us. No matter what color of our skin, no matter the nation of our origin, I will praise Thee, the psalmist said, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth not right well. Now, I have plenty of guilty feelings when I sin and disobey our Heavenly Father and act in an unchristian manner. But I don't feel guilt how God has made me. That's how He's made me a man. He's made me a man. Made my wife a woman. So we can get married. Woohoo! Great. I like that. That's the way God had designed it. Maybe her to be a woman, maybe to be a man, we can be married. There's African-American author Carol Swain, a retired professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University. She wrote a book called Race and Covenant. She says this, "I was convinced that I was born into a land of opportunity despite being born black and poor. I learned that one's attitude toward life was far more important than your race or social class in determining what you will accomplish." She went on to say that critical race theory will, quoting now, "only create anger and frustration and despondency in the black youth it purports to help." She asked, "Should we keep telling them that they cannot thrive because of slavery in past centuries and white privilege today?" And might I stop for a moment? There was a recent college graduation where a person said those very same thing. "I want you to know you're going out to a world of white privilege and you're going to have all these things against you. But you go out there and just do the best you can." No, that's not what we tell. God's made you in a wonderful way. Serve the Lord. She says, "Will this really help them to tell them that? Is it even true?" "I don't think so," she says. "There are plenty of blacks like me who have come from dire circumstances and have risen above the circumstances of our birth." Well, the most intelligent and conservative people in the world sits on our Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas. Conservative, good thinking, clear thinking, brilliant man, brilliant mind. He's African American. It's what you do with God. First of all, get saved, and what you do with God has given you. You can do marvelous things. From a book called Critical Race Theory, an Introduction, Third Edition, the two writers, which this text is used as a text in many training sessions, "To accept race, conscious measures in employment and education and reparation should be paid by the government to Indians and blacks." That's their teaching and philosophy in this book. However, it's completely unbiblical philosophy. Reparations are... God blesses work and diligence. In Proverbs 10:4, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." Proverbs 12:24, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." The government does not owe anyone reparations. Now, has the government done wrong? Yes. The Indians' trail of tears? Yes. Government has taken over area. Government has taken over land. Yes, yes, yes. What about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus paid, but he paid people whom he had stolen from and he gave it to them. Individual giving to an individual. He was wrong. He took it. He did it. He gave it back. Demonstration, definition, direction is unbiblical. And finally, there's the danger. We've already covered the danger somewhat. The teachings and beliefs of critical race theory are not only historically inaccurate, more importantly, they are anti-biblical. God created you exactly as he wanted. You're carefully weaving you in your DNA, the physical aspects of your being. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made," the psalmist said. No human being should, of any skin color or lack of it or ethnicity, should feel guilt or less of a person simply because how God made him or her. Him or her, there's only two. Do you not see that in our own society where a young person says, "I just don't know, I might be something else"? How do you think that? Because the social media has inundated them with all these things that sees this doing this, and you may be this, and you may be that. Listen, look into God's word and see what God says. He made you as a woman, young lady. He made you as a young man, and he has a great thing for you if you'll follow him. Maybe we need to turn off our social media some. Can you not see the exponential rise in all these transgenderism things since 2007? Now let's think for just a minute. What started in 2007? Advent of the iPhone. Now we have all these young people who are doubting. Am I really this? Am I really that? Why? Because this person says this. And there's a group of... Read. Gender Dysphoria by Abigail... I know I've heard last name. Anyway, Abigail something. She tells it like it is. However, there's simply no room in critical race theory. Look what it says for just a moment in Colossians 3:10 says for us here. Colossians 3:10. "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. There is neither Jew, Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all." We are one as a human race. But there's simply not room for that in the CRT language. In truth, critical race theory diverts attention from the real problem that we are all sinners. Instead of seeing sin as racism, the sin of racism, as being inherent to a particular nature, CRT says being inherent to a particular skin color. Denies the necessity and availability of the blood of Christ to cover our sin and regenerates in our hearts. CRT is a shallow answer with destructive results for the real problem of sin. Nothing less than the blood of Christ can regenerate a heart. You want to get rid of racism? Let's get our hearts right with God. That's the only way it's going to happen, because racism is the sin, but sin is the culprit. It falsely claims that basic human problem is racism, but that does not hold up under the lens of Scripture. They are wrong. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Racism comes as a result of sin, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. For the wages of sin is death. We should reject CRT because it, developed by man, is based on worldly wisdom, based on deceit, and it leaves out Christ. It is not following God's word. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Remember, critical race theory is just that, a theory. It's critical because it criticizes all existing structure. It's race because it divides men into races, which is not biblical. And it claims that certain races, particularly the white race, and those that are aligned with the white race, are inherently evil. That's wrong. Now, we all are sinned and come short of the glory of God, but not every single person is inherently evil. It's theory because it's not a fact. What is a theory? A supposition on a system of ideas intended to explain something. A theory is a plausible or scientifically acceptable general principle or body of principles offered to explain phenomena. A theory is an unproved assumption. Synonyms are speculation, conjecture. David Cloud said, I would call it critical race hypothesis, because a theory at least has some basis in fact, where critical race theory has none. Every single person of a particular skin color is racist. And that every single person of a particular skin color cannot be racist because they're an oppressed society. There's no basis for that. Now, there's a history of racism in the world, yes. There's no basis for that. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. The goal of the movement is to convince America that this theory isn't truth, when it's just not. But think for just a moment. We had a theory come on the scene some decades ago that everybody believes now as the gospel, unless you're a Bible believer. What is it called? Evolution. The theory of evolution, now it's almost progressed in most people's minds, the fact. This is the theory of critical race theory. They want you to think of it as the fact. We must stand clearly on God's word. That's a theory. This is God's word. It's true from the end to the beginning. I can't just say if it disagrees with the Bible, it's false. If it's contrary to God's word, it's no good. Throw it out. Period. End of discussion. It's wrong. We should not be following it. Christians should not have any part of it. Let's just say it out there, whether you're Baptist or whatever you are, whatever convention you're in, it should not be a part of anything you're doing in the church. It's only going to succeed in dividing your church population. That's the only thing it's going to do. Interesting, some biblical truths to contradict critical race theory. All men have one father, Adam. There's only one race, the human race. All men are equal sinners before God. None are righteous. None are superior. God made mankind male and female only. An unchangeable biological fact, which it still is an unchangeable biological fact, no matter how you try to change your body. Homosexuality is perversion in God's plan and destructive to individuals. Men are to respect laws and obey authority. Men are to love God and love other men as neighbors. Biblical truths that contradict critical race theory. Clearly, there's nine of them right there. Dr. Brown says, it's a doctrine of the devil. Our Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers. The advocates of CRT are not peacemakers. In truth, they are division makers, deconstructors, hoping to demolish what they think is wrong and rebuild it in their way. It's what they think. They are the three ladies who started Black Lives Matter. They are the ones who said, we've been trained as Marxists. That's exactly what they've been trained as, and they want to deconstruct and then build everything. And all these people who are signed on and said, all these different little agendas, the LGBTQIA plus movement, and say, oh, when they come into vogue, and when the Marxists and socialists take over, they're going to place us. No, what the Marxists and communists will do will just simply end you, and you'll be over. And you'll be just like everybody else who already. You can either stand up for the Lord and be put in jail early, or you can dismiss and compromise and be put in jail later. It's either way. I mean, it's going to happen if they get their way. The Bible says in Paul, by the way, God's still in control, so let's not give up the ship. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time when they come, where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. We're looking at a great fable in America today called critical theory. So in summary, so if social justice cannot provide the answer of our world's needs and critical race theory is definitively anti-Bible, how should Christians promote justice? If doing justly, remember from our book in Micah 6:8, to do justly, if it is not condoning ungodly lifestyles, if it's not advancing victimization mentality, and it's not redistributing wealth to those who don't have it, how in the world can we bring justice to this world? We've got 4 minutes. To do justly, and what's the next phrase? And to love mercy. Our world is filled with sin, and sin always hurts more people than just the offender. As the hands and feet of Christ, we are to show mercy to those who are in need of mercy, to stand for justice amidst the ravages of our kind of sin in our society. Standing with mercy means we stand against racism, a racism that views any human being as lesser than others. Now that's real racism. Well, you're lesser because you're this. You're human. It's the mindset of Adolf Hitler and 6 million Jews. If you just took a moment, we need to be reminded of what those Jewish people look like coming out of Auschwitz. 70, 80 pounds, bones walking. And one guy that passed away a couple weeks ago, one of the remaining Russian people who freed them says it was amazing. They would come out walking and someone would fall on the pile of other dead bodies and we had to go. We gave them all our food. We couldn't stand it. We gave them all the food we had and we went on because we couldn't stand to see the pain, the anguish of people who had suffered so. The Iranian people want to wipe it out and say it never existed. I tell you, it existed. It's what mankind does when they think they are superior to others. Matter of fact, can I just say, it's likely the teaching of Charles Darwin, The Origin of Species. And you know what the rest of the title is? You should read the rest of the title. That's where a lot of this ideology comes from. It's a believing that you are better than others. Listen, the gospel is for all men. And if we simply a Christian who constantly discusses social justice causes, but makes no effort to talk about Christ with those who need the gospel, is of all men most hypocritical. That's the answer. Jesus is still the answer, and he always will be. It's not some social movement or some theory brought up by people who hate God. To do justly, to love mercy. And I like what Paul Chappell says. The completeness of God's instruction through the prophet Micah is amazing. Some people in their emphasis of justice proudly enforce the law. Others in their emphasis of mercy haughtily despise the enforcers. Yet Micah 6:8 brings it all together with the final instruction. We are to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore God, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. God is not impressed with people demanding their rights, but delights to give and infuse grace to those lives who, in humble obedience, dependence upon him, serve others. This is not to say humility means giving up the right to justice. Most certainly does not. But it's to say this, when God calls us to do justly and to love mercy, it's to be accompanied with humility. Humility. Christians who get caught up in anger and vitriol of social justice undermine the credibility of the mercy of the gospel of Christ. Our world is replete with the social groups filled with pride. Matter of fact, can you tell me what this month is in our country? It's Gay Pride Month, right? Our culture movement is defined by anger and vindictiveness. Todd Friel said, and I can't remember exactly how he said it. He says, okay, I don't believe it, but I'll give you the point of that we're all racist. But how about this? How about your anger
and your hatred, that's just as much a sin as our supposed racism. There's no answer for that. For those who hate the certain skin color, that's just as much a sin as we are accused of being racist. So the distinction in God's servants should be that we humbly serve who we can, when we can, in the name of Christ. If we are a people who do justly, who love mercy, who walk humbly, we must be a people who love the lost, serve with compassion, and reach out to men and women with the gospel of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the example. When we see through the lens of Scripture, critical race theory is a man-centered, divisive ideology that is in grave conflict with the truth of God's Word. It should not ever, 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 never, ever be a part of our church or any church. It is contrary to the teachings of God's Word. Are we to love others? Yes, irregardless of what skin color they have or don't have. We are to love mankind. We are to do justly. We are to love mercy. And we are to be humble while doing it. We have the example. It's the Christ. Let us pray. Lord, as I close this series, it's not a popular series, but Lord, it's something laid upon my heart that we just need to be reminded of, introduced to, praying for. Lord, I pray for our nation. This has made such an inroad, this theory of criticism and aligning by races, etc. That's not biblical. Lord, I know there are many in churches today that have bought into the mindset, but Lord, your word has got to be first and foremost, and everything really in the church. So may we find ourselves loving others this week. May we be doing justly, living righteously. And Lord, may we in humility have opportunities to share not just our food or our clothes, but the gospel of Christ has always got to be the forefront. May that be our mission. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In closing, you'll need the words because we don't sing this song very often. It is number 536.